I'm David Reed. I'm your host today. I'm here with the editors of the North Coast Journal, Thad Greenson and Jennifer Fumiko Cahill, and two of the journalists who worked on the cover story in this week's North Coast Journal, which is called The Housing Games, Tony Wallen and Freddie Brewster. So this cover story is about...
This story is essentially about housing in Humboldt and the barriers, roadblocks, exploitation, concentration of ownership.
As well as some of the conditions that people find themselves in when they do find housing.
Okay. So we've seen stories about homeless students and that enormous problem. You kind of went about this in a different way, though.
This is... We went more on a systemic avenue with where the web goes in housing, because it's not just one source that deals with it. There's a lot there that goes into how housing goes up, housing develops, who decides what gets built. Is there pushback from community or zoning or, you know, permits?
And this is such a huge topic. How many journalists were working on this? How many student journalists were working on this? And where did you even start?
Yeah, so there were about 20 of us in the class of Marcy Burstner.
Oh, and what is this? What is the class?
It's the investigative reporting class. Special Topics 48. It's offered every other year. We started by just kind of looking up old articles about housing in the surrounding area here from, Nationwide to Del Norte County down to Ukiah, and just kind of trying to get a grasp and idea of what the housing like is in the area as a whole. And then from there, we looked into the Humboldt County property tax roll. It was about 84,000 lines of just different codes, everything that listed commercial to residential properties and multi-tenant properties. And so we were able to go through that property tax roll to help identify the number one property owner. And we did that by selecting different codes that the properties were listed under. For example, code 1100 on the property tax roll is for single family residential, and the codes, I think 2120 and 2150 are multi-tenant units. So we selected those as well as a couple others to just identify who the number one housing or who the number one property owner was here in Humboldt County.
So Tony, what did you find out, and where did you go from there?
From there, we kind of just gathered up. Well, specifically, it was so big that you just kind of hone in on who deals with housing and then go to one person and kind of start your interview there. You know, we do a bunch of interviews first and then get comfortable with how the story is going to go. Initially, we had this question or this, our avenue was going to be the exploitation of tenants. And that kind of was our base point, and that really exploded into everything that we found. And it was just starting with mainly one interview, and then going from there. And then with the property tax roll, who owns the most, and then talk to them. Talk to the top 10 and see from tenants' point of view, go to, you know, just... We would get. I would specifically get sources from each person I talked to, and just follow that rabbit hole and get better along the line with the information that we gathered.
What were the top two or three things you walked away from? You know, what solutions or main beefs or?
Yeah. So, for me, what really stood out is that we found a system that pits working professionals, students, families, and the mentally ill all in one housing pool, all fighting to find the same housing. And so oftentimes those that are, you know, some of that would landlords and property managers would consider less desirable as tenants, oftentimes are left out. And that helps to contribute to our housing issue here in Humboldt County. We spoke with DHHS. And they said, and that's Department of Housing, or excuse
Human
me.
Human and Health Services.
Yeah, the Housing of Human and Health Services. And they said that they have currently have housing for 140 individuals, but they need housing for over 300. Mm. And so I found that to be a pretty interesting statistic.
Throughout all of California, we need like 1.5 million affordable housing units. They only gave out in 2017 267 permits. So we're not, like, Humboldt County itself is not meeting the mandated requirement for the state of how much we need to build for affordable housing. Mm-hmm. We're at 40% below the poverty line in Humboldt County alone. Also, we thought, so pushback was going to be more along the lines of easier to attain, or it was kind of surprising because with pushback from, like, say, community or city wanting to develop, found out that permits is one of the main barriers.
So what I hear you saying is that you thought the main barrier to more housing development was going to be not in my backyard, or communities not wanting it, or the city not wanting it.
Yeah, well, so that still was a lot.
Okay.
NIMBYism is still pretty, you know, like Betty Chin she has 50 houses that are still sitting and nowhere to put them. You know, they're tiny homes, but they're donated by PG&E for this specific problem and reason, and yet they're sitting. They've been sitting for a year. But we weren't expecting there to be an even almost equally pushback with the permit.
So the permitting issue is actually is maybe the largest issue, or at least it's surprising.
It's very surprising. It was a big issue.
Yeah, we found that the county in the city of Arcata actually has quite a bit of money to build housing, but through zoning restrictions and just other kind of some barriers that we list in the story, that they're not able to build in areas.
Okay. I'm going to, Thad Greenson, I'm going to bring you in on this, mm-hmm. But you guys stay with us. So this project with the investigative reporting students here at Humboldt State University, this is, you've been doing this with the journal for a while. You guys have been...
Yeah, it's a collaboration I guess the class has shifted to every other year now, but every time this class is in session, we collaborate with them to print the story and to provide input and feedback. And
you were one of these students.
I was. Back in 2006, I was in Marcy Verstener's investigative reporting class then, and we took on a big project looking at... Highway 101 and how kind of an over-reliance on a very rickety highway leaves Humboldt County very susceptible to becoming an island in the case of an emergency, an earthquake or something like that.
And you know, Tony and Freddie, you too, I mean, editing this and kind of getting to the final process, how do you handle a project of this size?
You don't
and how long does it take?
Very meticulously.
Yeah.
Marcy taught us a really good system using just Excel sheets and data sheets on how to organize our information. And so that helped out quite a bit to keep everything organized, because we had 20 people contributing all to the same story. So at times it was almost like our information was everywhere, but by being able to sort through these spreadsheets in a way that was manageable really helped out to keep things organized.
That's one of the amazing things about the class, in my opinion, is it really teaches you how to not only kind of amass this mountain of data and anecdotes and interviews, but really how to keep track of it, how to organize it, and then how to work together as a team to kind of push it into a final product.
Tony, how many students worked on this?
About 20.
Wow.
20.
How do you even do reporting that many? How do you split up the work?
You know, two weren't even journalist majors. So two were like criminology. So we, would have them look at like data, doing data research. We had teams, everyone does interviews, but some did more and others did looking at just records and comparing them with other counties, other cities. Honestly, it was pretty tough.
Yeah.
Like trying to get everyone on the same page
Did you walk away? I mean, you said that the original thought was that, you know, to look at housing discrimination. I mean, did you come away with a picture of that in Humboldt County and solutions, do you think?
Yeah, I would say that. I would also say that we came out with 10 other stories from this one story.
Yeah.
Like, there's just so much.
Yeah, the things that didn't make into the story are just as compelling, some of the side stories.
Mm-hmm. Wow. But yeah, definitely there's a lot of barriers. There's a lot of barriers, a lot of discrimination, I would say, yeah.
Okay.
I think, I mean, one thing I walked away from the story with is that I think that certainly, you know, discrimination is at play in some parts of the housing market. But I think the more pervasive sentiment is that the market is so incredibly competitive here, and there's so many people competing for so few units that lots of people feel discriminated against, whether that's the case or not,
right.
Just because they're being turned down over and over and over again.
I mean, you have this we have all these properties, and everyone who the property manager is saying, you know, there's so many people coming, we can't rent them out fast enough, you know.
I can't wait to read it. Thank you guys for all the work, and thank you all for being here. Freddie Brewster, Tony Wallen, and both journalism students in the investigative reporting class did the cover story for this week's North Coast Journal. And Thad Greenson, thanks for being here.